face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Cover coming and going. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now, more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on twitch.tv. Subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app at your app store. Listen to the show live. You can see the wonderful podcast up there as well. The coaching carousel seems to be coming to an end. Brandon Staley, who is the defensive coordinator for the LA Rams, a man of
Call him Sala. I think it's Sala, as in Indiana Jones's friend.
Brandon Staley.
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Sala from the
Sala would be what I would call the coach of the Jets. No, Brandon Staley is now the coach of the Los Angeles Chargers.
That's not the story, though. The story is Dan Campbell. That's the story.
Well, then the story was I was listening to ESPN Radio over the weekend, and I'll tell you this, their weekend shows are really good. And they were having a hissy fit that Eric Bieniemy was not going to get a coaching job. And they were insinuating that it was somehow racist. And to that, I would say, I don't believe that's the case at all.
It's a shocker, though. Well, wasn't he like the hottest name of all of them?
I don't know. I don't remember where I heard it, but apparently he's a terrible interview. He's not impressive in interviews. And if you look at like DeSala and you look at Campbell, and take away Staley, if you look at some of these guys, they're these giant personalities that come in. And Campbell played for the Lions, and you have to remember that Chris Spielman's very involved in the Lions coaching search, and he's a huge meathead.
You so can I get can, his pump on with with Campbell.
So I can only imagine how that meeting went. Like they pretended, you know, like they. How many times do you think they said, "Leader of men,
dude, and, you're awesome"?
Not dude, you're awesome. Because no, they leader of men, and you know, like use military terms and stuff for how important they were to coach these football teams. And Bieniemy, I guess, is not very impressive when he does these interviews. But I would imagine, first of all, Sala is the first Muslim to be a coach of an NFL team. So, I mean, that can't be dismissed. I mean, it's not like everyone's Lily White that's being hired. There is a boundary that has been broken by who grew up in Dearborn, Michigan. It's funny. I was like, Sala's from Dearborn, Michigan. I'm like, well, he's got to be Arabic because everyone in Dearborn, Michigan, quite literally, maybe literally, everyone in Dearborn, Michigan is of Arab descent. Mm. That is absolutely true. And sure enough, and then they said he was, and I go, that makes sense. He's the first Muslim coach, and which cannot be dismissed. But I find it very difficult to believe at this day and age outside of Houston that people would not want the best candidate full on and foremost. They want to win football games is my theory on this thing. I don't think Bieniemy's being left in the cold. I think if they felt that he was the guy that they could win with, they certainly would hire him.
Well, Fred, I would say that you're making a decent point until what happened last night. And that is that I guess it's being reported that the Eagles were smitten with Josh McDaniels.
I wonder. I wonder if Bieniemy would take that job. Is the only thing, because apparently the Eagles' job is poison, and that the reason McDaniels is even being considered is because of no one else would consider it.
Why? You see, I don't see how that would be such an awful gig.
I'll tell
you. Because, I mean, you got Jalen Hurts, a young quarterback.
No, but I'll tell you why it's a terrible gig, is that you have a quarterback that's making a ridiculous amount of money that is in a situation that is terrible. They don't want him. He doesn't want to be there, and they got to deal with that whole headache. And that team is what it is. It's not a good team, and they don't have a bunch of cap room. Out of all these positions, it's a bad job. Yes, John.
Just to get back to Bieniemy real quick.
And it's in Philly.
Yes. Well, that also goes without saying. But getting back to Bieniemy, I mean, we talked about Houston on and off the last 4 or 5 days. And one thing Deshaun Watson was really angry for management at management for was not bringing in his guy. He wanted Bieniemy to get an interview in Houston. Deshaun Watson wants out, and ESPN has a story this morning saying he may have played his last snap with the franchise. Mm-hmm. If you want to, and my opinion has always been, if you're Houston, you kiss Deshaun Watson's ass, because whatever draft picks you get in return for Watson in a trade, the odds of you getting a quarterback as good as this guy are very small. So if he wants Bieniemy, and Bieniemy's still out there, why doesn't Nick Caserio bring him in for an interview?
I don't get. I don't get why you wouldn't interview
why
him.
Why wouldn't you talk to Bieniemy and maybe hire the guy, make your quarterback happy, and get rid of one massive headache? I don't understand
said that they finally did.
I thought I read that in the article that they finally did
talk to Bieniemy. But then again, it's step number one is to get rid of Easterby. I mean, you've seen this.
Easterby made a very nice speech before their final game about how great Deshaun Watson
he
was.
He thought he stuck the landing,
which made all the players roll their eyes, because they basically said it was a kiss ass to win favor with Deshaun Watson while J.J. Watt is sitting there.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the article even says it was like only the second season that he's been able to finish like the entire season. He doesn't give him any credit. He's the captain of the team. And I mean, the Easterby thing is just, it's hysterical and it's amazing.
Well,
and I get it. And here's why I get it. I get it now that I've heard that McNair audio that we played on Friday.
Wait, he's a dope that's been seduced by some. Yeah, it's like he's been seduced by some religious guy, like a religious con man.
Yeah.
Which happens to a lot of stupid people, regardless of how much money they have. And
he's a dummy who gets his money taken away from him by a fast talking salesman, and McNair's just sitting there buying all of it. And when everyone knows, other than McNair, that step number one to saving this franchise is getting rid of Easterby. And I mean, Deshaun Watson, you make him happy. How you can trust this guy in any kind of fashion or sense with any kind of football decision is beyond me. And why he's been given all this power is because there is a dolt at the head of the business right now.
Well, but back to the problems with Bieniemy not being hired. I mean, Aaron Glenn got the interview with the Jets. He's going to be a head coach someday, which I know people are going to say, well, that's what they said about Bieniemy, but Gerard Mayo, we all agree, is going to be a coach. I mean, if you're getting interviewed 2 years out of the league, you're going to be a coach. And I just find it very difficult to believe that Bieniemy's not being touched because he's black. I don't buy. I think that these guys sit down, they do their interviews, and they want the best guy. And again, Salah from the Jets is a Muslim Middle Eastern guy. And they hired him, and, you know, have you heard anything about how terrible that is or anyone fighting back about that? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they broke a barrier this year. And so I just, first of all, the people on the ESPN radio on the weekends won't commit to an opinion, which I hate. Again, I'd much rather you say things that I find to be completely counter to everything I believe in my soul with conviction than it is to sit there and pussyfoot around you're saying that the NFL is racist is what you're saying, but they don't want to say that. They don't commit to that. So they pussyfoot around about, well, what do you mean you tell me that he can't get a job? Well, he didn't interview well. For whatever reason. I'm not in the interviews. I don't know what's going on. But I mean, I don't think that you know, the Jets certainly. I think the Jets are so desperate to win. I mean, they've hired black coaches. I mean, they had Todd Bowles. I mean,
to well, maybe apparently he's going to meet with the Eagles today.
Oof, you want Todd Bowles? I mean, that all right.
I just don't know how you can look at – I don't care how bad he interviews. If you've got
Houston
Patrick Mahomes telling Deshaun Watson –
I know.
This
Houston's
is the guy
different.
Deshaun Watson going, I want this guy. And then you – it's not like he was the offensive Houston. Coordinator for some crappy team. He
Houston's
was the offensive
different.
Coordinator for one of the best offenses in the league.
Houston is a different story. Houston is its own pile of garbage, and it's all coming out. And for Houston, it very well might be a race issue. I don't know. It very well could be. He's dumb enough to be super racist, the stupid owner. But in terms of these other teams, I don't buy it for a minute. I don't buy it for 1 minute. What do you don't think Los Angeles can handle a black coach? I don't even think that it would. I don't even know if it would be a story. So, no, I don't believe that. I heard that over the weekend, and I don't think Eric Bieniemy is being shut out because he's black at all.
It's shocking that he is, though. I mean, he might not interview well, but I mean, the guy's track record is pretty phenomenal.
But so are these other guys. It's not like these other guys are schlubs, and I'm not in the interview process. There's a reason that they sit down with these guys for 6 hours. I mean, these guys are presenting them their plan. I mean, these aren't interviews where they just sit around and go like, oh, how was your day? I mean, I take it that these guys have a comprehensive plan that they bring into the meeting and they present. I have a feeling it's a 2 hour presentation with like 3 hours of question and answer afterwards. I think the coaches have to go in and they have to be familiar with the roster. They have to be familiar with the players. They have to talk about what they think with based on the personnel they have. The strengths that they would bring in and they have to talk about culture and how they would. I mean, there's a million things. I mean, the interviews is everything. I mean, that's everything.
You talk about that plan they got to bring in, Fred. Apparently, Saleh came in to the Jets at his interview, and from what reports are saying, he's got a nice little scheme for Mr. Sammy D. Like, I guess they're saying that he might want to make Sam Darnold work. Ooh. How much would that piss you off if they actually passed on that pick?
I'll tell you the disaster scenario is that they keep Darnold and keep the second pick. That would be a disaster scenario. And they take an offensive lineman.
They take that kid Sewell from Oregon.
So they have two top 10 picks that they've taken tackles with.
There you go. And protect Sammy D's front side and backside.
Because if they traded down, if they don't like Fields or Wilson, okay, fine. But if they traded down and then they had, because they have a first round pick from Seattle this year and next year. So if they traded down and got numerous first round picks in the next two drafts and were able to build that way, mm-hmm. then I would go, okay, well, it makes sense. And we'll see what Saleh can do. But if you tell me that they sit at the second pick and take an offensive lineman or take a receiver, I'll go insane.
Am I reading this wrong? Saleh is obviously bringing the assistant coach that he likes from San Francisco, the passing coordinator, whatever. He wants the Jet offense to look like what Garoppolo just ran with San Francisco this past year.
That's what people are inferring, but I'm hoping that he looks at the personnel and adjusts based on the personnel, like a Belichick. I don't want someone who goes, well, this is the way I do things, and we're going to do it my way. I want a guy who looks at the personnel and goes, here's how we'll make this personnel work, which would be a big thing in the interview if I was hiring a coach. Mm. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That would be a big thing for me. But I heard that this weekend, driving to our friend's house yesterday. There was a lady and a guy, and the lady was all up in arms. Oof. Mm. Not saying anything, mind you. But there were hints. She wouldn't come out and say it, which is interesting. Why don't you just say the NFL's racist? You believe the NFL's racist. You believe that Eric Bieniemy is not getting a job because he's black. Okay. And then you make your point. Okay. I don't know why you don't do that. Why are you pussyfoot around this stuff? It's infuriating. Just say it. What's wrong with saying it? What do you think is going to happen? Nobody from the Nobody Show said something at 2:30 in the afternoon on Sunday. Please, No, that's how you make money. That's how you do things, is you say things like that. That's how those guys make money. You can say that. That's a safe thing to say. An unsafe thing to say would be Eric Bieniemy shouldn't get a job because he's black. That's an unsafe thing. Saying that that I believe the NFL is racist and that they're not hiring black head coaches isn't going to get you in any trouble. No. No. And if that's what they're worried about, it's terrible. It's terrible radio. It's terrible conversation. It's a terrible thing. It's if I went out to eat with someone and they were talking like that, it would drive me crazy. Again, I would prefer your opinions are the exact opposite of mine. Than I would, and as long as you're saying something with conviction, instead of woof. Because then I would go, I think you're out of your mind. I think that these teams want to win. I don't think that it's a black-white thing. Now, there might be a situation that black coaches don't get opportunities like early in careers and things like that, and they're not in position to take these head coaching jobs. But in that's something that you could tell me and then you could educate me on. However, Eric Bieniemy not getting a head coaching job, I don't believe has anything to do with him being black. None. I don't believe that. And I'll believe, and I think the Jets hiring Saleh is a point in that they hired a Muslim guy, and I don't hear anyone complaining about it. In fact, the team's all psyched about it. All his ex players are psyched about it. So there you go. All right, Jeff Howe's going to join us. He was all fired up last time. He was acting the fool, really, if you ask me. Okay. But it is a holiday, and we are the only people in the building. For real. It's actually kind of weird.
There's five cars out there, and it's the employees.
Yeah, it's
our show, all five of us.
Yeah, it's here the five are. People on the show. That's right. The five people cars in the parking lot. There's no one else here. We could go on the air on every other radio station, and there's a part of me that wants to do it. I actually walked into the oldie station, see what was doing. They have a nice studio. They have nothing to complain about. All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, the Sports Hub.
Hi, I'm Bob Soucy, the voice of New England.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
It's a really good idea to be really active on Twitter. That is a one-way ticket to riches. There's no downside.
It's Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Breeze dropping, looking, throws the pass to the right side. It is intercepted on the far sideline. Bucks have the ball.
I love the energy of this music. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Continuing reading about the vaccine. Saying that once you get the vaccine, you can't spread the coronavirus.
If there's
according to Dr. Sachs of Harvard, if there's an example of a vaccine in widespread clinical use that has this selective effect, prevents disease but not infection, I can't think of one.
So they're saying that if you get the vaccine, you can't spread it anymore.
According to Dr. Monica Gandhi of the University of California, San Francisco, please be assured that you are safe after vaccine from what matters, disease and spreading.
Hey, well, that's breaking news.
It's not actually breaking news. It's the point of this article is that the way that the vaccine has been told to us commoners is with the cautiousness of someone in a peer journal. And so they're saying that it's time to stop that nonsense and start telling people what the quote-unquote truth, which is once you're vaccinated, it's over.
Because that was the justification that the NBA was using for keeping players like Kevin Durant out who already had the antibodies.
I don't know if you get it. I'm talking about the vaccine. I don't know about getting it. I don't know the difference between having had it and this is the vaccine.
See, I just thought it was antibodies were antibodies, well, no, but I could be wrong. But I mean, that's the NBA's justification.
I don't know.
They say that even if you have the antibodies, you could still spread it. And that's why people like Kevin Durant would sit out, even though they already had it, which seems strange on the surface. But that's
my medical
the way it's
training.
Justified.
My medical training is based on this article. And this article does not speak of if you had it. This article speaks only if you've gotten the vaccine. So basically what they're saying is the vaccine is 100% effective, essentially. In disease
and
spreading.
And keeping the spread away, too. That's great. Wow.
So they're saying get more hyped up about this vaccine is what they're saying. They're saying
let's play some 2 Unlimited. So y'all ready for this? Well, get some hype going.
Well, yeah. Well, we find out who the chosen people are at the station for the vaccine, and Rich is one of them.
Wow. How about that?
Which, they miss me.
Yeah. They said it, a year is enough. They said bring them back. All right, Jeff Howe is from The Athletic. He covers the Patriots. He was sassy the last time he was on. He's on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Jeff Howe, hello. Jeff Howe.
Hey there.
Hey.
You hear me now?
Yes. Hi. Yes, yes. You've calmed down. You were a little sassy the last time you were on. You were getting very defensive about your team.
I mean, I thought I was making good points, and you were the one who was making the bad ones that were worth, countering.
All I said was that this roster was not as solid, probably as it should be. But here we are, And first of all, do you know anything? Have you heard anything about Josh McDaniels' situation over there in Philadelphia?
No, it sounds like it was a pretty long interview yesterday. I mean, the Eagles seem to be really interested in him. And, I mean, I think at this stage, with the way they've gone about firing Peterson and then bringing McDaniels in maybe a week later, I mean, that just trying to read between the lines here, it seems like he should have a pretty good shot at getting this job.
I agree. And isn't it funny that this is the job that he would take now? After he was so selective of all the jobs that he wanted and all these things, and now he's taking the job that no one wants.
See, it's weird because the Patriots are coming off a season which their offense was awful. Now, granted, you know, McDaniels has nothing to do with the personnel he's given, but all those years with Brady and he didn't take the job or get an interview after last season – and this year, with a one-dimensional offense that set football back 40 years, they're considering him and not a guy like Eric Bieniemy, who's the hot commodity?
I'm absolutely stunned that Bieniemy hasn't gotten a job. And the way people are portraying it, doesn't look like he's going to get a job this cycle. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. I mean, if you're the Eagles, though, do you want to stick with a similar type of offense that Peterson was running? I mean, going back to the Andy Reid tree, I guess, with Bieniemy. So, I mean, that I can sort of see if you want to avoid that the way that, you know, if you fire a Bill Belichick guy, do you want to hire another Bill Belichick guy right after that? Maybe there's something like that going on down in Philly. I'm not quite sure. But with McDaniels, you're right. And you're with the point about him being so selective over the years, even backing out of that Colts job, which in hindsight, I still think looks like it would have been a really good job to take, even without sure. Andrew Luck. But this is, if you're McDaniels, you're probably looking at this wondering, you know what? I had all these opportunities year after year after year, and now it's kind of gone dry. And yeah, the Eagles situation right now is an utter mess. The cap situation's a disaster. Who knows what's going on with the quarterback situation?
Their owner,
Howie Roseman. Yeah, the owner. I mean, Howie Roseman has almost as much job security as Jack Easterby. It's kind of a frightening place to look at from the outside. But who knows how much, how many more opportunities he's going to realistically get? Especially, you know, you're probably looking across the aisle here, and you see Brian Daboll's name get hot. And, you know, Bieniemy's going to get hired eventually. So you're probably looking at this saying, I should probably jump a job if I can get one.
Yeah, there's 38-year-old kids.
I'm sorry, Fred. Where does that leave the Patriots? Like, what happens now? And is that even, like, do you believe that it's a major hit if he does leave? And how do they handle that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've lost so many coaches over the last 2 or 3 years that – losing a guy like McDaniels would hurt. And I know there's a sentiment from the fan base that, you know, every time they have a bad offensive game, a lot of people want to just blame McDaniels. But I think the guy had a relatively strong year. Like you said, given what was kind of on the field for him to use, he reinvented the offense under Cam Newton. And the offense, they had their struggles. But I thought to a large extent it wasn't because of McDaniels. So who are you going to have as the play caller coming in if he leaves? I mean, that's a big question. You might actually have to go outside the organization for the first time in a while, unless you can get maybe, you know, Bill O'Brien to come back.
I'll say this. I'll say the name, Adam Gase. Now, he did not get the Alabama job, which is the job everyone wants. So would Adam Gase be a guy that Bill Belichick would consider?
I mean, that's kind of been linked. O'Brien went to Alabama, didn't he?
Yes. That's the job everyone wants is the Alabama is the Alabama OC job ahead of the Patriots, I guess, from what I've read, is because that's the ultimate reclamation place. I mean, you're going to succeed. You're going to have more talent than everyone else, and you get that Saban pedigree. Which is weird, isn't it, that you would go to college and that's a more attractive job than an OC in the NFL for these guys that are reclaiming their careers? And
just look at the last two. The last two OCs they've had, Brian Daboll and then Steve Sarkisian, who just got, you know, truckloads of money to go take over at Texas. So one way or the other, that has been a profitable path for the last two OCs. And I'm sure if I could think of the guys who were before Daboll, that, you know, that probably extends even further. But yeah, I mean, Gase has been linked to Belichick, and just that kind of spiraled out of control the last week of the season with the way Belichick has profusely praised him. But at this point, I mean, Gase, without having Peyton Manning, has not really been all that successful of an offensive coordinator throughout his career. So that's, I'd be very curious how that would work, but I mean, if he's willing to come in and run the same type of offense that Belichick has had for the last 20 years, I mean, who knows? I mean, at this point, he's got to get somebody.
All right. When you look at the draft and all the, and, you know, now things are starting to come into place, and it looks like there's a conversation that the Jets could trade out of that second pick. You're a proponent of getting a quarterback in the first round, targeting a guy and going to get him, which I think is a good idea. I mean, if you like a guy, if you're going to draft a quarterback, the chances are 99% of the time you're going to be successful as if it's a guy high in the first round. Is there a guy that you're hearing any whispers about or any talk about that the Patriots might be keying in on?
Not yet, just because it's still a little too early in the cycle. But I know, I mean, just a guy who people are probably sick of hearing me talk about at this point, but Trey Lance, he was able to get an early start on this process just because North Dakota State only played one game last year. And they had their coaching staff has had 2 Zoom calls with the NFL, and both times there were upwards of 60 personnel on it from NFL teams. So that tells you that Belichick staff had at least one, if not 2, representatives on that call doing their homework on Lance. So, and I think just honestly from a realistic standpoint, play this out again. Lawrence, we know, is going 1. Zach Wilson's probably going 2. Justin Fields is going to go somewhere in the top 5. And that you just have to hope, if you're the Patriots, that Lance starts to fall somewhere to 7, and then you also have to hope that Carolina isn't so itchy for a quarterback that they try to trade up from 8, I think, is where they are. And so you have to try to trade up into the top 7, and you have to do it for the 4th guy. And I know I keep coming back to this. I'm not sold on Mac Jones.
No.
If the Patriots are, then you know what, good, like, that's their decision. I mean, I think you're going to have a situation where maybe 10 teams love Mac Jones and the other 22 won't touch him until, like, you know, the third round or something like that. If the Patriots truly love Mac Jones, then that's a guy you can wait on, I think, to 15. But if you want one of those top four, and I think there is a very distinct fall off from four to the Jones level, then you've got to move up and get him. And you've got to trade at least two first-round picks. And you've got to get some luck, and you've got to hope that Carolina isn't going to outbid you, because, you know, when you're talking about trading down from I don't know, if you're the seventh team, I forget who's at seven. It might be Detroit. If you're going to trade down a spot, you'd prefer to do it to 8 than to 15. So the Patriots might have to win a bidding war in order to do it, too. So it could be an expensive climb up the board.
Well, Lance would be really fun. I mean, Lance would be great. Because that's a kid that's got all the talent in the world and that just no one knows. So if you're a Patriots fan, that's a really fun pick to bring in. And if you have Belichick mentoring the kid, that would be certainly exciting. Because from what I've seen, that's a kid that would be fun to watch on Sundays.
Absolutely. I mean, he plays a fun style. He's, like you said, he's an unknown, so people are skeptical. Hey, he did it at North Dakota State against FCS opponents. Well, how is that going to translate to the NFL? Well, look, he's 20 years old. He's big. He's powerful. He's got a huge arm. He can run with the ball. He's smart with the ball. He went an entire football season without a single interception, which is crazy. During that season, he led the first 16-0 national championship run in college football in 125 years. So, and he did it for a team, a North Dakota State team that is a Division II or 1AA, whatever, FCS dynasty. But, you know, you look at that roster, the way that he went into that 2019 season, the undefeated national championship, no interception season, they had just lost a huge chunk of their coaching staff. They lost a ton of their defense from a season earlier. So that was really a younger roster where they needed the quarterback to come in and play well, and he went out and had an historic season. And so this is a kid who has a ton of untapped.
And he was an Ohio State kid, right? Like, it's not like he was some nobody in high school that had to go to North Dakota State. I mean, he was a kid that transferred. So,
no,
I mean, he...
No, no, you're thinking of Justin Fields?
No. Trey Lance was at a big program or had an opportunity at a big program and ended up at North Dakota State.
He didn't have any. No, oh, okay. He wanted to play. He grew up in Minnesota, small town Minnesota. I spent a month writing this kid's life story last season.
Right.
So this kid's dream was to play quarterback for the University of Minnesota. Okay. And Minnesota looked at him and they were like, you know, you can be like a linebacker.
Oh, you're right. I take back everything I said. Yes, he was not considered a quarterback prospect. That's right.
It was a tough recruiting situation for him and his family. And, you know, he wanted to play in the Big Ten. And the Big Ten, nobody wanted him to do anything other than just sort of come on as a safety or a line. And he was a really good safety in high school, too. So you can kind of see that side of it. But he came from this high school where, you know, they would blow out teams. They had one of the highest scoring offenses in the state of Minnesota. So they would, like, pull him out at, like, halftime early in the third quarter. And the other side of it was he played with a running back who scored 107 touchdowns in three seasons.
Jesus.
So it was, you know, they put up video game numbers and they didn't want him to get hurt. So they'd pull him out and he didn't have all these 300-yard games. So teams would, like, come in and flock to Marshall, Minnesota, and they'd, you know, they'd look at him and they'd be like, yeah, well, we see two quarters at a time and he doesn't have the stats, so we're going to go with this kid from Texas or whatever. So it was, they didn't want to believe what they were seeing. And that sort of followed him all the way to this point, too. I mean, you're going to see the tape from North Dakota State and people are going to be like, well, I could go with him or I could go with the kid from Ohio State. And so
right.
He's sort of been like that small-town kid who continues to have to prove people wrong.
Well,
it's a really interesting story.
I had the story wrong. Thank you. That is interesting. And I'm looking at his stats now from 2019, and, I mean, it is insane.
28 touchdown passes, zero interceptions, and he ran for 1,100 yards and 14 touchdowns.
I know.
That's crazy. Right.
Well, you remember, I mean, this kid was considered the second best, the third best quarterback prospect going into this, arguably the second, before the season played out. Because Zach Wilson was nobody at the beginning of the season. And, so it was like him and Justin Field. So, So that would be interesting.
It came out of nowhere from that perspective, too. Their offensive coordinator in North Dakota State was telling me a story how, you know, they're at the podium of the national championship, you know, and he's looking at Trey Lance. You know, he just won the Walter Payton Award for the best player in college football and was the national championship game MVP and won the Jerry Rice Award. One of those. Anyway, anytime you win a Walter Payton Award and a Jerry Rice Award in a matter of like 24 hours, that's a pretty good stretch for you. So their offensive coordinator's looking at him, and he's like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe I've got him for 3 more years. This is going to be awesome. We're going to win more national championships. The records we're going to post, this is going to be great. A month later, he's riding around in Arizona going to, like, some function or a recruiting function with the head coach, and Easton Stick, who was a fifth-round pick a year earlier with the Chargers, calls him up, and he's like, hey, I don't know if you know this, but like I'm out in LA, I'm just listening to sports radio, and they're talking about Trey Lance as being a first round pick. And the coaches were in the car in Arizona, like, you know, just having a grand old time. And they're like, a first round pick? Like, we're actually going to lose this kid? Like, they had no idea the hype train was about to spiral off the tracks. And, you know, lo and behold, it did. And then coronavirus starts to take over about a month after that. And they basically only had him for 1 more game.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go, Jeff Howe. And that's in The Athletic, the story about Trey Lance. Did you write the story about Trey Lance? All right. So good.
Yeah, back in maybe November.
All right, cool. So go check that out. It would be a lot of fun if Trey Lance was the quarterback of the Patriots. He would be a good kid. All right. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right. There you go. I thought Lance was that's funny. I thought Lance was Ohio State kid that transferred.
I think you're thinking of, because Justin Fields was a third-string quarterback for Georgia who transferred to Ohio State, I believe.
Maybe I'm thinking
apparently,
of Justin Fields.
Apparently, Air Force and Central Michigan, they offered him scholarships to play quarterback. But
Boise State.
Boise State, right.
Not Central Western.
Sorry.
Better program.
My mistake. Those directional schools trip me up every time.
Yes, indeed. All right, we'll be back. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation. To get involved.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
985 The Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. Jeff Howe has tweeted out the article about Trey Lance that he wrote, talking to his offensive coordinator and things like of that nature. If you're a Patriots fan, that would be a great situation to bring Trey Lance in. It would certainly be fun.
Yeah, I mean, think about what we just witnessed from this offense this last year. And like it or not, Cam Newton's a retread quarterback. And maybe the Patriots have to trade more than one first-round pick to get this guy and jump up to what was it Jeff said, 7?
Yeah.
Got to get to about 7 from 15. That's going to take some doing. But if you do it and you bring in Trey Lance, I mean, there'll be some heat on this team. I mean, it'd be fun to see what happens.
Yeah, because he's huge and has all the athletic gifts.
Just look at the numbers we were reading. I mean, there's some stuff here.
Yeah, look at his highlights. I mean, he's a freak. But the thing is that the growing pains will be huge, too. So he'll shine, like he'll do something like insane, and then he'll do something real dumb. And so, but that can be fun. I mean,
but also, who's your offensive coordinator at that point? That's going to be another interesting thing.
You give Gase the keys to the car. You give Gase all the keys to him and watch him develop.
You should see the Eagles fans this morning talking about Josh McDaniels. They're like, "Are you? We have Eric Bieniemy, a Daboll is still out there, and you're bringing
no one
in
wants
Josh
the job."
McDaniels? Like, well, I mean, I guess that they're bringing in what's his name?
Todd Bowles.
Todd Bowles. Yeah. I guess comes in
again,
this morning.
Which no one wants the job. That tells you that example A is McDaniels. Example B is Todd Bowles.
Well, there are two jobs left. Is Houston and that one?
Yeah,
that's
and,
all that's
and
left.
You know why those two jobs are left?
Because they both suck.
Yeah,
yes,
and no one wants them.
Right.
So you got.
I would have loved to have asked Jeff because I was just thinking about it. You know, Jeff was there covering the team, obviously, during Easterby's rise. And I'm just wondering what he knew about the guy in order to make him so effective at being literally the ticking time bomb, not literally, but figuratively the ticking time bomb somehow was put itself, like, ingrained itself in the Texans organization and has just blown it up from the inside.
It's not any great feat. He seduced the dummy. It's one guy. All he had to do was get to one guy who's a total idiot. And, you know, he's one of these Christian
rise
idiots.
The Patriots was interesting, too. Like, I mean, that all was strange.
Well, the thing with the Patriots is when you talk to, like, when I talk to Manish, I mean, he mentions names and he's like, so, you know, da, 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 da. I'm like, no. And then I'm like, I don't deal with them. Like, I don't, you know, there's always names in the halls. I don't think that Easterby was that big a deal with the Patriots. According to everybody, he wasn't that big a deal. But what he's able to do is he was able to go and seduce this moron.
Put it this way, we knew the name of the team moral chaplain, moral coach, which
I only knew it when he left.
Never know that name.
I only knew it when he left. That's when I found out about it.
Because it was a story. It was like, well, the morality coach.
It went hand in hand.
The whole thing.
Well, it went hand in hand with the massage story. Is that, oh, look, this guy left because he thought it was, you know, beneath him to work for the Crafts anymore. And when it, like, normally if he would have left, no one would have cared. But it was just another thing to add to this story. Like, now there's fallout from it because that was a big deal. Now, looking back, I don't know why I thought it was a big deal. Looking back, it was pretty stupid. I don't know. But it was, I guess it was just shocking when I first heard it. But then looking back, it's like, what did the guy do? He didn't hurt anybody. The crap they put on Kraft. Well, it's a sex slave ring. And then you're like, oh, my God, come on, dude. The guy went and paid
it.
Yeah, paid
all
his,
that was
really, yeah. No, he paid his money and he got what he got. Now you're gonna what? Now he's responsible for importing women from another. I mean, come on.
Well, I just think that this Easterby thing is I'm so fascinated by it because
it's a grift. It's a grift and a religious grifting.
Grift.
Well, tell me how there's guys in Houston where that team is that have mega churches that don't pay taxes that drive around and literally drive around. You were in Dallas. They drive around and they have a fleet of Rolls Royces. They don't pay taxes.
Oh, yeah. We like several of the big TV ones were filmed there.
Yes.
And, you know, they have like the gold, the trim on the gigantic churches with that have the TV studios.
Well, let's get beyond even the churches. Their personal wealth is ridiculous and they don't pay taxes. They shouldn't get the vaccine. They should be last.
End of the line. Yep.
Well, that's what, you know, according to Charles Barkley, the more taxes you pay, the better right you
that's
have.
That's how everything should run, really. I mean, that's how everything should run, if you ask me. All right.
But, I mean, I just want to continue to look for more McNair audio because I honestly was thinking about his audio all weekend long about I thought that Mark Davis by far was the dumbest owner out there. And boy, Mark Davis looks like Einstein compared to this
guy. Let's not go crazy.
I'm going to go crazy. That was dumb.
I think they're two different kinds of dumb.
We could play a game. Yeah. Is it Davis or East or McNair? All right.
Good luck finding bad Davis ones. Because, I mean, he might be dumb. But
he might be dumb. Now you've gone nuts. I said
he might be dumb.
What do you mean he might be?
It doesn't come across as being super dumb.
The things he does are dumb. Every account of him is that he's a bumbling fool who is.
But when he speaks, it doesn't sound dumb. Like the things he does, like he wanted the balloon ride and all that stuff in San Antonio. That's dumb. Like, you know, he's got the conversion.
That was a helicopter.
His white sweatsuits with a fanny pack and Cheetos dust all over him. For real, not not a joke. That happened.
But when he speaks, he doesn't sound dumb. This guy, Cal McNair, that dude is dumb. Like, dumb.
All right. Well, when we come back, Tony Romo sucks, and I have audio proof, and you all heard it. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.